tonight's message is just do what he says. Just do what God says. I want you to think about this tonight for just a moment. Your life is a gift from God to you. You are the apple. Think about this tonight for just a moment. Your life is a gift from God to you. You are the apple of God's eye. Psalm 17, verse 8. You might be thinking tonight, my life, a gift from God? I was told as a child that I was a mistake, you might be thinking, or that I was an accident. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not a mistake. You are not an accident. Whoever told you that was inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. Your life is a gift from God. God has got a plan, a destiny, and a purpose, a specific will for your life. And so you might be thinking tonight, well, if God has a plan for my life, why am I in the same place that I was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago? You might be thinking, you know, I'm still broke and busted. Yeah. I moved from shelter to shelter. I'm still single and alone. It seems that I have not made a positive impact upon the kingdom of God. If God has got a plan for my life, why is it that it feels like I'm stuck in the same place I was many years ago? So the bigger question is this. Did you obey what God was telling you to do some time back, some years ago? So tonight we're going to turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist writes, "Blessed or happy are those whose ways are blameless," whose ways are sincere. Sincere in the sense that, does your walk with God match your talk about God? "Blessed are those who walk according to the law of the Lord," who walk, who follow, who obey the revealed will of God as found in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. You know, God reveals his will in the scriptures. He reveals that he is holy and that we are to be holy as God is holy. He reveals that he sent the Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in him we can have eternal life. We're to be Christ-like. He reveals in his word that he is love, and we are to love others as he loves us. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. But also blessed and happy are those who follow and obey God's specific and direct will for their lives. Realize this tonight. God has got a specific and direct will for this gift of life that he has given you. God has got a direct and specific will for this gift of life that he has given you. With your life, he wants to bless your life. For your life, he wants to bless others beyond yourself, to make an impact upon others. With your life that God has given you, he wants your life to make a positive impact in the kingdom of God. And maybe you heard God speaking to you years ago about your life specifically, about the will, the purpose he had for you, the thing he wanted you to do. And I'm going to give you a few hypotheticals here tonight. Maybe it was about pursuing a certain person, a relationship. Maybe for the guys here, he was telling you not to pursue a specific lady. Or maybe for the ladies, he was telling them not to go with a certain guy. And you know that God spoke to you this word. Maybe God spoke to you years ago that he was wanting you to take your testimony of how he rescued you out of the kingdom of darkness, and he was wanting you to put it in written form in a pamphlet. Maybe God spoke to you years ago and said that he was wanting you to share his word and the gospel with groups of 2, 3, and more. So you may have heard God for your life in the past, and God spoke, and you knew that God spoke. But is it possible that you heard God with your spiritual ear? You heard the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit, but in your other ear, you heard the voice of the enemy, the devil, trying to sow seeds of doubt in your mind. Remember, God gave Adam in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, he gave him a command. What did he tell him? He said in Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And in Genesis chapter 3, lo and behold, the serpent, the devil, comes to the woman. And he says in verse 1, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. Verse 5 of Genesis 3, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the woman was tempted. She fell. She ate the forbidden fruit, gave some to her husband, and sin entered the world. They were banished from the Garden of Eden, which represented fellowship with God. See, God spoke to Adam, Eve knew it, but then the serpent whispered into her ear seeds of doubt, and she fell for the temptation. So, concerning that person, maybe God told you not to date. Is it possible that the enemy sowed seeds of doubt in your mind? Did God really say not to pursue her? Did God really say not to get involved with him? If you pursue her, your life will be fantastic. Things will not go wrong. It'll be a great life. It'll be pleasurable. So you hooked up with that person, you married them, and your life fell into disarray. Or maybe God spoke to you about writing your testimony in pamphlet form, and maybe a family member, a naysayer, a pessimistic family member said to you, well, you know what? You didn't do well in English grammar, and you're just going to botch it up. You can't put two sentences together. And so you heard that voice of like insecurity speak into you, and you decided not to follow through with what God told you to do. Maybe God spoke to you and said he wanted you to share his word and share the gospel with others. And maybe the voice of fear said you can't do it. You can't speak publicly. You might mess it up. And you decided not to follow God's will for your life. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that God is speaking. God has spoken to you. God wants to speak to you presently about a specific and direct will for your life. You've got to shut out the other voices, the voice of the enemy that would try to sow doubt into your mind like he did with Eve. You've got to shut out the voices of those pessimistic family members that would try to shut you down. You've got to shut out those negative voices and speak to them and say, in the name of Jesus, you evil, unclean voices, I curse you in Jesus' name. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as you speak the word of God to those voices, they will be shut down, and you can focus on God's voice, and you can do what God is telling you to do. So tonight, for the next few moments, we're going to talk about obeying God's specific will for your life. If you obey God's specific will for your life, God can bless your life. Amen. And I really enjoy the account of Naaman. How many here remember Naaman? In 2 Kings 5, let's read this, verses 1 through 14. I'm going to try to go through this quickly. But now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy, a skin disease. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Verse 3, she said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Not that the king would cure him, but that the king would recommend him to Elisha the prophet, who would pray. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy?" In other words, the king was thinking, this is impossible to cure him of his leprosy. And he knows I can't do it. Why is he trying to pick a fight with me? Verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Verse 9 of 2 Kings 5. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan." So this was God's specific will for Naaman through the prophet Elisha. "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." And Naaman heard the word of the Lord for his life specifically. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." In other words, Naaman was saying, "Man, I wish God would do it my way. Why do I have to dip in the Jordan 7 times? Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. So we see that Naaman here was struggling in obeying what God was telling him to do, specifically through the prophet Elisha. But here's good news, verse 13. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. He humbled himself. He dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. He was struggling with obedience. Have you struggled with obeying God? Guess what? It's going to take putting death to self, humbling yourself like Naaman did, and just doing what God has told you to do with your life specifically. He went to the Jordan, he dipped 7 times, and he was blessed. He was healed of his leprosy. He was made whole in his body. So when you obey God's specific will for your life like Naaman, God will bless your life in the area that you need it. But it's going to take obedience. You might struggle a little bit, but humble yourself. Put self to death and just do what God is saying for you to do with your life specifically. On the other side of your obedience is a blessing from God. Blessed and happy are you when you obey the specific will of God for your life. Obeying God's specific will for your life will bless others. It will bless others. Case in point, Jonah the prophet. How many remember Jonah the prophet? Famous account in the Old Testament. God spoke to Jonah, right? He gave him a specific thing that he wanted him to do with his life and ministry. He said, "Go," Jonah 1:2, "to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." He said, "Jonah, I'm wanting you to go to Nineveh." And Jonah blatantly disobeyed. He headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. God was telling him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance, and Jonah blatantly disobeyed and went the opposite direction from Nineveh. And as a result, a great storm arose on the ocean. Make a long story short, the sailors cast lots. They threw Jonah overboard. He was struggling in that water. God provided an unusual form of deliverance, a whale that swallowed Jonah as he was in the water, almost drowning. He was in the belly of the whale, delivered, but still uncomfortable in the belly of the whale. And he was there because he had disobeyed God. disobeyed God. But here's good news tonight. We serve the God of another chance. We serve the God of a second chance. And maybe God spoke to you at some point in the past about something He was wanting you to do with your life specifically. And maybe you didn't do it, you messed up, and you stayed stuck where you're at today. But God wants you to go forward with your life. He wants to promote you. You can advance with your life, but you've got to obey what God is telling you. So the word of God came to Jonah a second time in Jonah chapter 3. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, Jonah 3:1. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And guess what? The second time Jonah did what? He obeyed God and he preached to that nation. And that nation turned back to God. They turned away from their wickedness, the nation and the king in sackcloth. They repented before God and the entire nation was saved from the wrath of God. That entire nation was blessed because Jonah obeyed that second time. If you obey what God is telling you to do with your life specifically, not only will you be blessed, like Naaman, but others in your sphere of influence will be blessed. The kingdom of God will be positively impacted. Jonah messed it up the first time, and maybe you messed it up the first time. Maybe you heard God specifically speaking to you. You just knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God spoke to you, the Holy Spirit to your spirit. You just knew that God was telling you to do a certain thing, but you struggled and you decided not to follow through. You decided not to walk in the specific will of God for your life. You messed up, but guess what? Don't get down on yourself. Don't get down on yourself. Because like God gave Jonah a second chance, He will give you a second chance. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The God of Jonah is the God that we serve. If He gave Jonah another chance, He's here tonight wanting to give you another chance with your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless others. He wants His kingdom to be advanced. But you've got to obey. You've got to follow. You've got to do what God is telling you to do specifically with your life. You're not on this earth by accident. You're not on this earth to just take up space. You're not a spare part in this world. God has got something special for you to do. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless others. And He wants to bless His kingdom. Is that making sense here tonight? So how to know and obey God's specific will for your life? First and foremost, you got to do what? You've got to pray. Which brings me back to Psalm 119 verse 2. Amen. Psalm 119 verse 2. We just studied verse 1 here a little bit. Verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart." You've got to be seeking God concerning His will for your life with your whole heart. You've got to be crying out to God. You've got to be praying to God and saying, "God, I really want to know what You want me specifically to do with my life." And I guarantee if you cry out to God, if you pray to God, you're in communication with God, God will respond to you and He will tell you what He's wanting to do with your life. Hear what God is saying to you through the Word, through your spirit, maybe through a minister that is looked up to and reputable. Hear what God is saying about your life specifically. God is speaking. Are you listening? God is speaking. The question is, are you listening to what He's telling you to do with your life? And then once you hear what God has told you He wants you to do, just do what He says to do. Hear God's voice and remember what I said earlier. There's going to be naysayers and pessimists and other voices of fear and insecurity and, you know, the enemy that is going to try to speak into your other ear, trying to discourage you. But shut those voices down in the name of Jesus. You just tell those voices, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Get out of my life. And those voices will be shut down so that you can clearly hear the voice of God and do what he's telling you to do. That good news. So I've got an illustration I'd like to read to you here tonight concerning obedience. I thought this was interesting. All right. We'll be closing off here in just a few minutes. All right. An aviation cadet on a practice flight, listen to this, was suddenly stricken with blindness. Frantically, he contacted the control tower and told of his desperate plight. His commanding officer radioed back, "Don't be afraid. Just do what I tell you." After being advised to keep circling the field until all was clear for a landing, the sightless pilot was instructed to begin losing altitude. As the aircraft approached the runway, the officer's voice called out encouragingly, "You're coming in right on target." The cadet, giving unquestioning obedience to his commander, brought the plane down safely. So the question to us tonight is this, and I'm preaching to myself tonight. You know, because I've heard God's voice and I need to more accurately do what God tells me to do. The cadet gave unquestioning obedience to his commander. Are you giving unquestioning obedience to your commander, God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, supreme in authority over your whole life? Your life depends upon it. The lives of others could depend upon it. And the kingdom of God surely would be blessed if you do what God is telling you to do. Just humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this on my own. Like Naaman, my flesh is struggling with this. I'm just not quite sure I want to do this, God. I don't know why can't you just do it my way, God? I think that guy is a better pick for me, and God is saying no. God, can't you just do it my way? God is saying no, I want you to do it my way. Do it his way, might be tough. Humble yourself, like Naaman did, even like Jonah did when the word of the Lord came to him a second time, and surely on the other side of your obedience, even though that act of obedience might be difficult, on the other side of it will be a blessing for you, others, and the kingdom of God. Are you going to start giving unquestioning obedience to your commander, God? Taking orders from headquarters and doing what he says to do. And just tonight when you leave this place, just start praying to God and just say, God, I want to obey you more. I know you've spoken to me. I've missed it at some points in the past, but tonight forward, I just pray that you give me the strength and the courage to follow through with what you're telling me to do. I can't do it on my own. And God will give you the empowerment, the enablement of the Holy Spirit to do what he's telling you to do. Just cry out to God. Every morning you wake up, say, God, what's your will for my life? God, give me the strength to overcome my flesh who is struggling, that is struggling against what you're telling me to do. God, I just thank you, God. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. Give me the strength to do what you're telling me to do, God. I love you. And he will give you his strength, his divine enablement. You'll be blessed. Others will be blessed. The kingdom of God sure would be blessed. Amen? Amen. And as you listen tonight, maybe there's somebody out there, maybe there's some bodies out there that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior for the first time. At any time in your life, and tonight you want to do it for the first time. You're wanting to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. For the first time salvation, stand up. Anybody else want to follow her lead to accept Jesus Christ? You know, God may be speaking to you by his Holy Spirit tonight saying, don't waste another moment. Accept my son. First time salvation? We'll get right to that. Yeah, we'll get. Anybody else want to follow her lead? First time salvation. All right, man, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin. Tonight, I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. I love you, Jesus. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll see you face to face. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Welcome to God's family. The angels are rejoicing. Now, maybe there's some of you out there, like this person who just raised his hand, that wants to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, re-give, rededicate your life back to Christ. Maybe you followed Jesus at one time, but maybe you got upset with somebody, you got upset with God, and you've slipped away. And tonight you want to re-give your life back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Those raising your hands, stand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead? If God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit and is giving you His specific will for the moment, for your life, to accept the Son or recommit your life to His Son, then do it. We talked about that tonight. All right, those standing up, come forward to the altar right here. Come forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Is there anybody else that wants to follow their lead tonight? Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, where would you spend it? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you would spend it in heaven with God and Jesus if you were to pass in the next hour? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Come forward if you do. All right. Those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying upon that cross for my sin. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. Jesus, I love you. Give me your strength, God, to follow you, to follow your Son all the days of my life on this earth. And Jesus, I thank you that when I leave this earth, I will see you face to face in heaven. I look forward to seeing you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. For those who recommitted their lives tonight, there's certain things you can do in your spiritual life to remain close to Christ. You can be getting into the Word, not once in a blue moon, but consistently on a daily basis, if it's only just a few scriptures a day. You can be praying to God, talking with God, finding good, solid Christian friends, continuing going to church services. So there's certain things you can do in your spiritual life to remain close to Christ, to increase in your walk with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
May God richly bless you guys. Enjoy the summer day. Enjoy the summer. We'll see you next month. And Brother Chris, is it? Come on up. Close us off.
For supper, we'd like to dismiss our ladies and their escorts.
prosthetics.